tonight we're going to go on to the next chapter, chapter 9 in our book, which is Psalm chapter 40. We're not quite going to make it to the end of the book, but this is actually a good lesson for us to end on. If we couldn't make it all the way through the end of the book, this will be a good one, because this is this lesson is very applicable and sums up a lot of the stuff that we've already talked about so far. So Psalm chapter 40, he has this titled, Getting a Grip on Daily Problems. We are all familiar with daily problems. We all have daily problems, right? I mean, just going through the day, things happen. Some of the things he lists here in the book, he talks about marriage. That could be, you know, newlyweds just trying to get used to being married. People who've been married for a long time, you know, marriage isn't always the easiest thing, you know. And I know we have some people here who, the people that they're married to aren't members of the Church of Christ, and they come without their spouse, and that, you know, that's commendable, but it can also make things very difficult. So that is something that we all deal with, all of us who are married deal with. Money is always an issue. It seems like with the way society is today, and has been for quite some time, you never have enough money for some reason or another. It's hard to be satisfied with what we've got when our family and our friends and everybody has something more. You know, it's easy to get caught up in that. He also talked about health. Now, health is something that... You know, again, we all deal with. And here recently, we've had several people who have had some health problems. But that's just another daily thing that we have to deal with. Family. We all have family issues. You know, we tend to fight more with our family than we do with anybody else, really. Be it your, you know, parents, brothers, sisters, you know. Like we said with the marriage, husbands, wives, children, whether they're members of the church or whether they're not, you know, those things can definitely cause us problems. And then work and school. This is a big one, you know, because very few of us, you know, work in a place where we're constantly surrounded by brethren. You know, those jobs don't usually exist. Some of us might get lucky and be able to do that. And when you're talking about school, especially higher education, you look at dealing with the more liberal ideas, and being a Christian can be frowned on in some of those situations. So that's definitely a problem that we all deal with. And then how about this one? Church can also be a daily problem. You know, just like I said earlier, with your family and in marriage, you know, those tend to be the people that you can argue with the most because you're around them the most, obviously. But then also your church family. How often have we seen a simple disagreement or something that should have been simple if, you know, you could convince both people to open their eyes and open their ears and listen to each other? That can tear entire congregations apart. You know, these are all things that we have to deal with. You know, we all have to deal with some form of them or any others. Does anybody have any that we may have missed? Any problems that everybody deals with? All right. So then here's the question. How do we deal with these problems? Again, he has listed in the book some of the ways that we would deal with them. A lot of us sometimes, and we've talked about this several times, tend to go to friends first. You know, those are the people that you have the good relationships with, whether they're, you know, hopefully they would be Christian, you know, your Christian brethren, but if they're not, you know, you go to these friends and look for advice, and you may not always get the right advice. But that's definitely something that's easy to do. You know, something happens at work, and you call one of your friends that you have a good relationship with, and you vent a little bit, blow off a little bit of steam. And like I said, they may not quite give you the advice that you need moving forward. Another one, for the same reason we fight with them, is the same reason that we tend to go to them when we have troubles in other places. Our family, you know, it's who we're comfortable with. It's who we can always talk to. Co-workers. This has actually been happening with me lately. We're having some management issues. Things were changed here recently. We have more managers now, and that's generally does cause issues. The co-workers get together and we discuss it. But even I've noticed during those conversations, we're not solving anything. Media personalities. Now, this is one I thought was interesting because I actually put down TV personalities at first. You know, everybody thinks about Dr. Phil, Oprah, all that stuff. But when I was growing up, this is why I changed it to media, it was Dear Abby. You could always open up the newspaper and read people sending a letter into these people looking for advice. So these media personalities, and definitely for the vast majority of them, they're not giving you, you know, the correct biblical advice. Professional help. Not saying that we should avoid getting professional help when it's needed, but sometimes we should try something before we go to the professional help. Because going to your psychiatrist or psychologist, they may not give you the, you know, what you actually need from a biblical standpoint. They don't always look at it that way. And then the self-help books or websites or videos or however you would access that, where they tell you that any problem you face, you can solve it 100% on your own, which is odd because if you could do that, you wouldn't have to buy their book. But it's also, you know, wrong because we're going to go over it tonight. You can't solve any of these problems on your own 100%. You need help. The question is, where should we go for this help? So that's how some of us deal with them. How should we deal with it? Taking them to God in prayer. Exactly. And that's a lot of what we're going to focus on tonight. Taking them to God in prayer. We're supposed to take all of our problems to God in prayer. We talked about it last week about how sometimes prayer can be intimidating. And a very, you know, when we come up here and we pray, it's a very formal thing because we're leading the congregation in prayer. When you're having your daily prayer with God, you should be reverent, but it should be a much more, I don't know, I guess open is the word I'm looking for, you know, idea that you can take any problem you have to Him and ask for help. Jenny? Exactly. You know, what Jenny was saying is nothing's impossible with God. He has all the power, and we need to take everything to Him in prayer. And then she also touched off on the second point. We need to be patient. And we need to let God respond. He mentions here a bumper sticker, which I've actually seen, believe it or not. The bumper sticker says, "Lord, give me patience, ... now." That's, you know, that's kind of the way the world works. We talked about, I think, last week, or maybe the week before, about the microwave society that we've created for ourselves over the last few decades. We want everything right away. We're not willing to wait for anything. But on this, we need to wait patiently and allow God time to respond, because He will respond in His time. He has His own timetable for these things. And then the other thing that He says here, which honestly can be one of the more difficult things to do. Probably being patient is the most difficult, but this one will be the next most difficult. When you're in a time of need, and when you're in a time of hurt, or you're in a period in your life like what David was here, where clearly he was having some problem going on, count your blessings. Praise God for them. Because even when you're at your lowest low, God has always been there for you, and He will continue to be there. So you need to count the blessings that you have and then praise God for them. Let Him know that you're aware of what He's done. Right, yeah. God is definitely trustworthy, and we can believe that when He says He's going to be there for us, that He will be. So these are actually the three things that we're going to talk about. This is the three steps, as He calls them, keys, for solving any of the issues that we have. The first one He talks about is patience, which is verses 1 through 3, which starts out, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our Lord. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. So the very first thing He talks about is patience. So why specify waiting patiently? Right, yeah. That's what we need to do, and we definitely need encouragement to do it. Going back to work, one of the things that I always talk about when I'm working on somebody's computer and we have to back up the teacher's data so that they don't lose anything, a lot of times that takes a long time because they have a lot of data. The longer they've been there, the more data they have, or the more pictures they take of their class, the longer it takes. And it's one of those things, a lot of us in the shop, we always say it's that point of our job where it's just hurry up and wait. You don't have a choice. You have to wait patiently. And it's the same way with what He's talking about here with God. God's going to answer, but God's going to do it on His time. The more you ask and the more you hope that He hurries up, He's going to give you the answer when He knows that you're ready for it. And we've kind of already talked about this. Are we more likely to wait patiently or impatiently? we always fidget. I had, on Facebook, I just had a memory pop up that said I was going in for a follow-up doctor's appointment after I'd had a surgery. And I'd made mention in that comment about, I get to go wait in a doctor's office for another 30 to 45 minutes. This is going to be great. I was definitely not being patient that day. But if you wait patiently, you'd be amazed at the things you could learn from God. What are God's, and this is something He talked about in the book, what are God's responses when we take our problems to Him in prayer? Exactly. He will either relieve the burden or He gives us the strength to handle it. This goes back to what I said earlier with the self-help stuff. You can't solve your problems on your own. You need to take them to somebody who has the power and the ability to help you deal with them. And that's God, because He's either going to relieve the burden for you or He's going to give you the strength that you need. It's not always going to be easy, but He will always be there. Right, right. And that goes back to our, I think it was our first class, where we talked about being a Christian, you're equivalent to a tree that's firmly planted in the Word of God. If we're all a tree firmly planted in the Word of God, by that river of life, then together, a forest is stronger than a tree. And just like Marilyn said, sometimes the answer is that God has already given us the strength we need. We need to rely on our brothers and sisters in Christ. Take it to them. You never know. They may have dealt with some of these things before and can help us get through it. Anybody have any? Right, and to touch on the point you were saying with all the different things that he went through, I believe I don't know if he said it in the book or if I saw it somewhere where I was studying, but they said they don't really know who at what point in David's life that this psalm was written. Because, I mean, and think about, what is it, verse 2, the beginning of verse 2, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. They said that this psalm could apply to so many different situations in his life. It was hard to pin it down to figure out what was going on in his life when he wrote this psalm. David had a hard life, like you were talking about. I mean, the king that he served and the king that he loved and his father-in-law did all these things to him and was literally chasing him out of his own country, trying to hunt him down and kill him. His son did the same thing. And through all of this, he still, in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He has that unwavering faith in God. So, and even when we have the one issue that he had in his life where he wasn't really following what God said, when that was pointed out to him, he repented of that and he turned around and he did what needed to be done. So he's a very good example for us, and it's kind of hard to remember sometimes because he lived so long ago. And like you were saying, all the different things that he went through in his life that we don't have to deal with, sometimes it's hard to remember that he was a real person and that he's somebody that we should be able to relate to. The things that he went through, and he still had that unwavering faith in God. He is a great example to us. Anybody have anything else? Dan? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is sufficient. Right. And I think, I know I brought this up because I bring it up all the time whenever we talk about, God's answer is insufficient. The old song when I was in high school about God's greatest gift is unanswered prayers. God doesn't leave prayers unanswered. Sometimes what we have to get used to is that God's going to say no. It is sufficient, like he told Paul when he prayed to have the thorn removed from his flesh. He said no. And that's a... That's a hard thing for us to deal with sometimes. We don't like being told no. Ethan? Right. Yeah, and that, that we've actually talked about that a little bit too, about the selfishness, putting aside our selfishness and putting what God wants us to do. And I think we're gonna talk about that a little bit tonight too. Living the life that God wants us to live. Spending daily time in God's Word. That's where you're gonna find a lot of your answers for these daily problems. Okay. He asked in the book, was David's problem trivial? And I think that's a good point. Because it's very easy, Ethan, I'm going to pick on you for a minute. It's very easy for me to look at Ethan and say, can't believe he's struggling with this problem. That's easy to get out. What's wrong with Ethan? And then I've got a problem that's actually simpler and easier to deal with than what Ethan does. It's easy. It goes back to that self-evaluation you were talking about. It's always easier to diagnose someone else's issue than it is to diagnose your own. Any problem that someone is going through at the time that they are going through that problem, it is not trivial. Because what that problem is a stumbling block between them and the life that God wants them to live, between them and the path that God wants them to follow. There is no such thing as a problem that is trivial. If a fellow brother or sister in Christ is having a problem, we need to treat it with the same respect that they are. To them, it's a wall that they can't get around or over. And that's how we need to treat it. We need to be there to help them. There's no such thing as a trivial problem. What David was going through here, a lot of times he was literally being hunted to be killed. So his problems were definitely not trivial, but neither are ours. Any problem that keeps you from living the life God wants you to live is a huge problem that needs to be dealt with. And that's just something we need to keep in mind. Something else we need to keep in mind when we're reading about this. Did God help him? You know, David didn't say in verse 2, I'm still stuck in a pit of destruction and drowning in the miry clay. He didn't say that. When he talks about the problem he's having, he says, he, being God, brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He treats this as a problem in the past. God has helped him through it. So we can tell by that God does help us. You know, and I'm sure all of us have had issues that God has helped us get through. And then what was David's response in verse 3? He praised God. You know, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. So he put a new song in David's mouth, a song of praise to God. And what effect did this have on the people who were around David? It says, many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. David's reaction to the problems he was having helped lead people to God. Which brings up this question. Do you have the same effect on people around you? I struggled with this question when I put it down. I'll be perfectly honest. I don't always. You know, I've had some problems at work recently, and the way that I've acted, you know, I've had to go back and apologize for some things. Because they didn't, you know, the way I was reacting didn't always have a positive effect on people. And anytime that's the case, you know, we have to go back and rectify those things. But when we're having problems, we need to respond the way David did, praising God for helping us get along as far as we have and displaying our faith in him that he is going to help us get through whatever problem it is we're having. And when things are constantly going bad for you and you're getting kicked around, be it at school or at work or wherever, and people see you constantly with a smile on your face, and every time you speak to them, you know, you're very upbeat, you're praising God, that's going to have an effect on people, and they're going to want to know, you know, I know what's happened to you at work, how are you still so positive? You know, I mean, we've been very, I don't know, we're blessed with the amount of people that we have that we could lead to Christ, but we have to live that lifestyle but we need to demonstrate that lifestyle and that reaction to those things to lead people to Christ. You know, some of the most powerful lessons that you can learn are from people going up and saying, hey, you know, I noticed you did this, let me tell you what the Bible says about it, or let's talk about. Or when somebody comes up and says, hey, let me ask you a question about the Bible, it could simply be the way that people react to the way that they're treated. We are being watched. We hear that all the time. But it is true. It's not something that we should ignore or think it happens to the other guy. You know, as soon as you tell somebody, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm a conservative Christian, I go to Church of Christ, they're watching you. You know, and not always with the best of intentions. A lot of times they're watching you, waiting for you to mess up, so they can say, see, you're a hypocrite. I knew it. Don't give them that opportunity. When they watch you, give them something positive to see. Any questions or comments before we move on? Marilyn? Mm-hmm. And that's not always an easy thing. And, you know, saying you're... People throw around the word sorry a lot. People say the word sorry a lot, and you almost wonder if it means anything to them, because if it actually means something to you, saying you're sorry is not an easy thing to do. You know, you're admitting, like you said, you're admitting to someone, hey, I messed up, and I'm sorry for the way it affected you, I'm sorry for the way it made me look, you know, and you have to rectify those things, and that can be very difficult. Yes. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we definitely need to rely on our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't have the relationship with at least one brother or sister in Christ that you can take problems to, you need to make that relationship. You need to reach out to somebody and make that relationship, because it's incredibly important. I know I've relied on it a lot in the past, and I'm sure a lot of people here have too, but that is a very important thing, be it a family member, someone here, or whatever. But, you know, you need to reach out and make that connection with someone, because your brothers and sisters in Christ can help you get through a lot of stuff. Yeah, if you're truly sorry, it's the same thing, you know, with repentance. If you're truly sorry, you're going to work to correct that error in your life. You know, Howard was saying he has a kid who comes busting on the school bus every day and said, "Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry." He doesn't mean it if he does it every day. You know, how you know when he means it is the next day when he doesn't do it. Right, yeah, and it goes back to what Ethan said a minute ago too. Part of that sorry being sincere, it requires self-evaluation. You have to be able to look at yourself and admit that you... Absolutely, you're absolutely right. We do need to reflect on the things we've done in the past so that we can edit those things moving forward. But we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes. Don't dwell on it so much that you allow the guilt to start to eat at you. Use it as a learning tool and move on. And sometimes that's the hard thing. When you reflect on it, you get to that one spot, and it's like the old saying, you know, everybody slows down for a train wreck. You focus on that, and then the guilt can kind of eat you up, and you definitely don't want to let that happen. All right, the next part he talks about, verses 4 through 10, is praise. He says, "How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak to them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. The law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." So in this, who is the blessed man? It's the first part of verse 4. The one that puts his trust in the Lord. The one who puts his trust in the Lord is the one that's going to be blessed. It's the one that's going to he's the one who's going to be able to find the answers to the prayers that sometimes may be hidden and others may mistake it for an unanswered prayer. Why turn to others before turning to God? Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the moment and do that, isn't it? You know, like I was saying earlier about talking with the coworkers, why did I turn to my coworkers? Because they were right there with me. I could see them. I could see them going through the same thing. What we need to realize and remember is that God is right there with us too. And he should always be the first one we go to. If I would have gone to God first in those situations, I wouldn't have had to go back and say I was sorry and apologize to those people. So even though sometimes that seems to be the easier route, starts off easy, but then trying to get to the end of that road is more difficult than if you would have stopped and talked to God first. And he talks about counting his blessings. You know, can you list all the blessings that God has given you? We'd be here all night, probably the rest of the week. I mean, you can't do it. Does God, we've kind of talked about this a little bit tonight too, does God want our worship to be an outward show or an inward attitude? It's an inward attitude. You know, definitely there is part of that outward show to it. Like I was saying, you know, if you live your life, people are going to notice it. People are going to see it. But it's not a flamboyant, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian. you're doing what God wants you to do, people are going to notice. And that's always been one of my sticking points, is talking about attitude, mostly because it's one of the things I struggle with the most. Do we delight in doing the Lord's will? We should. It's not always easy, but we definitely should. We should focus on trying to do that. And then if we're truly thankful for His blessings and we truly do delight in His will, it will be hard to not get noticed. Like I said, people are going to be watching. And then prayer. He talks about taking things to God in prayer. Will our problems ever stop coming? I've not been able to find anywhere in the Bible where it says, okay, good, you're a Christian, you're done. Things are easy from here on out. It doesn't work like that. What makes things easier is we have somebody to take those problems to. Should we be focused on God or our current crisis? Right, we should be focused on God. If we focus on God, our crisis, like I said earlier, how it's that big wall that we can't get over or around. If you take your focus off that wall and focus on God, you'd be amazed at how quickly that wall could shrink down. And then how can we maintain that even path that we've talked about? It's having faith in God and having patience in God and praying to God. And, you know, having the patience and faith to know that He will respond in His own time. And then he talks about the three problems that David was facing here. Sin, he says, verse 5 and verse 12. Verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. I would declare and speak of them. They would be too numerous to count. And then in verse 12, he says, for beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs on my head, and my heart has failed me. So even though he realizes what God has done for him, he does the same thing that we all do. He sins. He fails. The other thing he also does is the same thing that hopefully we all do as well. He gets up and keeps going. He takes those things to God in prayer, and he puts them behind him and moves forward. And like what we were just talking about a minute ago with Danny, you know, don't dwell on the forgiven sins. Use them as a learning tool. But don't stare at them too long to where they become a problem again. David's enemies, he mentions all those in verse 14. And David mentioned it earlier, you know, he had real enemies that were after him. We have enemies in the world today too. You know, we have to deal with Satan and with the other people trying to tear us down. But we don't have to deal with the same type of enemies that David did. And we should, that should be one of the things we praise God for, you know, that we don't have that. And, you know, the other thing he was facing was ridicule in verses 15 through 17. He's being ridiculed by people. And I'm sure we've all been ridiculed. How does it feel? It doesn't feel very good at all. You know, despite what people think about it, you know, I have my opinions about it too, but the ridicule now, they have decided that does affect people mentally and emotionally to the point that ridicule they've listed under bullying. You know, so that's how devastating that can be to someone. If it's continued or if it cuts deep enough, it can be a serious problem. Right, there's been a lot of kids who've committed suicide about things that have shown up on social media, which is a whole new problem we have to deal with. The other thing I wanted to go back, this was one of the slides in the very first lesson I did. If you go back and look at pages 3 and 4 in your book, he has a list there. Are you feeling temptation to compromise? Are you feeling discouraged? He has a whole list of issues in which psalm you can go to for those things. And remember, this list is not a complete list. And there are 150 Psalms. God did not leave any room for us to have an excuse for not finding or offering help to deal with anything that we could deal with day to day. So, all right, this is our last class. Thank you all very much. I encourage you to finish the book because there are some good, the last couple lessons are really good too.